Glorify his name. Give him a clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, there's some things in the Word of God you just can't get around. And one of them is that you have to believe when you pray. Whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing. And I love the way God talks. Amen. You know, you can listen to people that read the Scripture and then they become mealy-mouthed. God isn't that way. Amen. God talks very clear, concise. He speaks with absolute authority and integrity. He speaks in a way that he makes our path clear. For he's never the author of confusion. Amen. But he says, whatsoever things you desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have whatsoever you saith. Now we understand that's not a blank check. Sounds like it, but it's in the context of his will. The pattern prayer says this, that he said that when you pray, pray like this. And it doesn't talk about immediately making petition. It talks about, and by the way, when God wants to teach us to pray, he has to teach us how not to pray first, because some traditional prayer habits are integrated into us and they have to be pulled out of us before something new can be planted into us. Amen. And he said, don't pray like the hypocrite prays. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, well, don't pray like the hypocrite prays, because he thinks he's going to be heard because of his much speaking. Can you say amen? He thinks that's what God is looking for, is this long, beautiful oration. He's not. He begins with the heart before it's even put into words. Prayer doesn't start in your head. Prayer, along with faith, all is initiated in the heart. Can you say amen? Man looks on the outward appearance, but God, amen, bypasses all of that and looks distinctly, directly into the heart. So he said, "It's whatever you're praying for, whatever you're believing for, you've got to do more than stand upon the word." We've got this thing today that's kind of negating prayer and bypassing prayer, amen, and just stand upon the word. We've got a name it, claim it thing going on out there, just standing on the word. There's a time to stand on the word, but that's not how you get answers, by standing on the word. There's an avenue to answers, and it's prayer. Ask. Don't just confess it and quote a scripture, but ask. You see, faith can become this abstract thing that doesn't involve intimacy with God. Listen, God wants fellowship with you before anything else. He said, when you pray, I want it to be you and me. Amen. I want you to enter into your closet. Everybody say, enter into your closet. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Come right in. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're so glad to see you. Baptized her in a little child swimming pool out here. Hallelujah. And it took, praise the Lord, it took. When you pray, enter into your closet and shut to the door. And the Lord that seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When you start just standing on the word and get out of that intimacy with God, God said, no, you can't just claim this thing. You got to do more than just name it and claim it. That's not how he taught us to receive from him. He said, you begin like this, acknowledge a relationship. Hallelujah. Our Father. Everybody say, our Father, which art in heaven. Not the force, but the Father, which art in heaven. And then, listen, he's your father, but he's not your old man. So our Father, which is in heaven, what's the next step as we approach him? Acknowledge a relationship with him. We have a Father in heaven, not just a force. Faith isn't just a force. It is an understanding of God by which you come to trust him. Everybody say, understanding God. To the point that you come to unequivocally. You actually was able to say that. Praise God. Amen. Jerry don't even want to try it. Well, anyway, but unequivocally trust in him. Amen? You have a Father in heaven. Don't pray like the hypocrite does. He's praying to a force. He's praying to a God that he doesn't have intimacy with. You have intimacy with God. And through that fellowship, you have access to God. And he invites you to come behind the veil. And he invites you to come before his very throne. You have an open invitation from your heavenly Father. And Jesus always pointed us to the heavenly Father, to come in his name, but come to the Father in his name. He said, heretofore, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask who? Ask the Father. He said, ask that you might receive so that your joy might be full. But he said, ask in faith. Ask in prayer, believing. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that those things shall come to pass and you'll have what you say. It's in the context and the overarching umbrella of God's will. And that's what we're getting to here. That's the hard part of faith sometimes, is to make ourselves submissive, subservient unto God. Because you don't get everything you say. Paul prayed 3 times in perfect faith as far as believing God. And 3 times the answer was no. I heard a song the other day that said, no, no, God will never say no. Paul said he said no to me 3 times. And if you've been hanging around the kingdom very long, you'll find out there were some prayers that God said no. He always answers. We think he's not answering. No, he's saying either no, yes, or not now. I like the yes, the immediate yes. Don't you love those immediate yeses? But sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says not now. And that means it's for appointed time. And that's where the hard part comes in, is waiting upon the Lord and staying in faith while we're waiting upon him. And the enemy's going to come and the circumstances are going to scream that God is unfaithful. He's not unfaithful. He watches over his word to perform it. Listen, don't pray as the hypocrite do, because they think they're going to be heard by their much speaking. Amen. They love to broaden their phylacteries and make long prayers before men. And he said, you fast to be seen of men, and you've got your reward. They applaud you. They praise you. You got your reward. I don't have to do anything. That's what you were really after. Amen. But he said, I want you to go into your closet. This is not about men and impressing men. I told you the true story of a man who prayed over the church offering or something. He pronounced a word wrong while he was praying. He prayed sincerely from the heart, but he pronounced a word wrong. As much as I speak and as fast as I preach, I'm going to have some pronunciation problems along the way. Can you say amen? Amen. I sometimes get Popeye involved. I watch way too many cartoons growing up. Amen. And I might call a coincidence a coinkadink. Amen. Just to see if you're listening. Praise God. Amen. But God is not a God of coincidence. Listen, he's a God of purpose. He's a God with a plan. He has a plan for your life. Everything you pray that is in his plan. Amen. He's going to come through like you ain't never seen. But everything you pray that's not in his plan, he has the prerogative and the responsibility, just like you as a parent, to say no. And the question is, can you handle it when he does? Amen. I got questions upon questions upon questions that I know when I get to heaven are going to be answered. And God asked me for something right here and now. Amen. To trust in the Lord with all of my heart and not to lean to my own understanding. Amen. Why can't we lean to our understanding? We're so smart. We're so biblically astute. We're so highly anointed. Why can't we do that? Because his ways are above our ways. Somebody say how far. I'm going to keep the air in here just so we don't cook in a little bit. Amen. How far? As far as the heavens are above the earth. Can you say? That's why you can't lean to your understanding. Amen. You couldn't. Listen, if he told you what he was doing, sometimes you couldn't get it anyway. Amen. Amen. Honestly. Amen. He said, my ways are that high above your ways. Amen. And my thoughts, they're not your thoughts. Amen? They're not. That's why he's able, and this is a good thing, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you think or ask, according to the power that worketh in you. Can you say, man? The Holy Spirit is within us. And the Bible said of Him, we don't always know how to pray as we ought. We got some fancy pants preachers out there that think they know, amen, how to get everything done and just snap your fingers and stomp your foot and stand on the word and get her done. They would have tried to sell Paul tapes. Yes, they would. They're that arrogant, that proud, and that self-assured, and that confident in their faith, not in His faithfulness. He's God. I don't want to drive. I do not want to drive. Amen. I don't want to be in the driver's seat. Amen. I want Him to drive. I don't want to be in the back seat, because I'd be a backseat driver. I would give Him the wheel and then ask Him why you're going that road when this one's so much smoother. Amen? Oh, yeah. Amen? Wouldn't you? Why in the world? Lord, no, don't turn there. Somebody pointing at you, I ain't going to say who it is. If you had a rear view mirror, you could figure it out, though. Amen? Amen? You feel it. You felt it. Yeah, we've been married a long time. We know those things. Amen. It's hallelujah. Listen carefully. I don't want to be in the back seat. Put a blanket in the trunk. Amen. I saw two dogs the other day I think it was one of those magazines. Anyway, there was a guy had a big old classic car, and he didn't want the back seat. Now, he's trying to keep the back seat clean, this classic automobile, you know, like a big Packard or something like that from way back. Big old, huge, beautiful, classic, restored car. He had two dogs that loved to go riding, and he thought this was a grand idea. Amen. And he cut two portholes like you do for boats with those clamps on it and open up in his trunk. And he put two big full-grown dogs in the trunk. And, of course, he opened those two portholes immediately, and they stick their heads up. And he thought that's going to keep his car pristine. Makes it look real goofy, to tell you. I'd rather throw a cover over the seat, wouldn't you, in that beautiful classic car. But he's going down the road, and these two dogs, he lives up near Canada somewhere, and these two dogs got their heads sticking up out of the trunk through those two portholes that clamp down when they're out. And he thought that was cool, and the dogs say, it's good for me. Can you say, it's fine with me. I want to be in the trunk, and I don't even want a porthole so I can see where he's going. I just want to be safe. I want to be in a cozy, safe place, assured that He knows what He's doing. Praise God. I don't know what He's doing a lot of time. You don't know how to pray as you ought. You don't always know. You may think you know, but you don't always know. And there's a time, Paul said, that I will pray with my understanding. And there's a time when I will pray with the Spirit. And when you pray with the Spirit, the Bible said the understanding is unfruitful. Amen. You're not figuring it out. You're not trying to get your plan executed. You're deferring to Him. You're surrendering to Him. You're bowing to Him. Don't be afraid to let Him have the wheel. He knows where He's going. He knows what He's doing. And believe it or not, He knows what you need more than you know what you need. You know what you think you need. He knows what you need. And in Paul's case, he needed a real tough trial. The amens have gotten very small. Three times he prayed in faith, stood on the word, rebuked the devil, pled the blood, and God said, no. 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 He's not like us when we say no and then give in because the kids keep bothering us. Amen? No, when he says no, he means no. So Paul had to accept a no. But when he accepted a no, then he began to get an understanding of a why. He said, you know, lest I be lifted up above measure because of the many revelations that I have received. There was given to me. Everybody says a gift was granted. An emissary from Satan. Under God's authority in His permissive will. Praise God. We're glad to see you. We knew you'd get here in time for this. Hallelujah. God knew you. I'm glad you came. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, sister. Amen. It ain't almost closing time. You know better than that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, can you handle it? Can we do what the Lord said to do? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I worship you. I sanctify your name. I set you apart as my Father and my God. He's your Father, but He's not your old man. And when you come to Him, you come in the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is deep reverence with awe and affection. You love Him, but He's still holy. Can you say, man, you're coming behind the veil. You have a personal invitation. You're a VIP. Can you say, man, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come behind the veil. Call upon me. You've got a Father. You have access to Him. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I sanctify your name. I set it apart. I recognize that you are holy. Amen. And I bow before you. See, believing doesn't come first. It comes after bowing. And that's why believing can really function in the will and purpose and plan of God for your life. Because if you bow to Him, you begin to surrender to Him. And if you begin to surrender to Him, you begin to desire His will to be done. And you pray accordingly. Amen. You don't just go present your will and some scripture you've got to try to make it happen. Those scriptures are null and void if it isn't in His plan and His purpose. Can you say amen? God has not bound Himself to do what you say. You are not going to have everything you say. Thank God you're not. Positive and negative. Amen? Heard a lady the other day, one of these hyper-evangelist wife, and she saw something in the scripture was so good while she was teaching. She said, boy, when I think of what Jesus has done for me, that just blows me away. She got to her next conference and a tornado had a near miss of the place she was ministering. She said, I'm never going to say that again. Now, come on, you're laughing, but these are people, you've read their magazines, listened to tapes, seen them on television, and tens of thousands of Christians follow them. She actually thought she created a tornado back in that last conference with her words. Dear Lord in heaven, escalate. They'll probably be driving up out there any minute. Escalate, escalate, escalate. It gets silly. And yet we're teaching it as revelation. We're teaching it as truth. Let me tell you something. God sits on the throne. God sits upon the circle of the earth. He's the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. His ways are not ours. Thank God they're not. Can you say amen? They're far above ours. Thank God they are. His thoughts are not ours. Hallelujah. We don't always know how to pray as we ought, but there's somebody in us that knows how to pray. Hallelujah. And He prays according to the will of God. Can you say amen? And if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we know that we have the petition that we've desired of Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And how are you going to know? It's when you bow. It's when you surrender. It's when you acquiesce. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see the reverence coming, the bowing coming. Thy kingdom come. I haven't asked for anything yet. I haven't asked for nothing yet. The petition part hasn't even started yet until I first acknowledge Him as my Father, because He doesn't want me just using the force of faith or standing on the word. He wants me coming to Him. He wants me coming to Him. Heretofore, you've asked the Father, nothing in my name. Ask Him. that you might receive. Listen, not just to get an answer, but so your joy might be full. Why? Because in His presence, where you come to pray, there's fullness of joy. And, oh yes, in His presence. If you bypass His presence, it's just a transaction. It's just using the Word to get what you want. Hey, but when you come before His throne, when you come to bow, when you come to worship, when you come into His presence, He's going to manifest His presence to you. And in His presence, there's what? Fullness of joy. And at His right hand, pleasure forevermore. So you don't just get an answer. You get deeper into a relationship with the Father and the Son. And that's what the apostles talked about truly. Our fellowship, our koinonia in the Greek, our intimacy, communion is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If any man open the door, I will come in. I will sup with him and he will sup with me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Where two or more of you gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. And if two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything they shall ask, amen. We understand the overarching will of God and plan of God. It'll be given them of my Father, which is in heaven. But you'll get more than an answer. You will get into a deeper walk with God, a walk of intimacy. You've got a Father, and He invites you to come and fellowship Him in prayer before you make a petition. Come and fellowship Him in prayer. Come and fellowship Him in prayer. Come and fellowship Him in prayer. You don't just rush in. I know we all have this. I hate to even go there, but there are people when they drive up in your yard, the first thing that comes to your mind is they need something. They're not coming to see me. I mean, they're here in my yard. They're going to come in my house, but they didn't come to seek my face. Amen. They come to seek something else. Can you say amen? It may be something in my utility shed. It may be something in my pocketbook. Amen. It may be something in my closet. I don't know, but they're not coming to see me. See, God don't want you coming just to get a need met. He wants you coming into His presence. His presence. His presence. It's more important to Him than anything. Can you say amen? Me coming into His presence is more important than me preaching His Word. Amen. He can get somebody to preach His Word. It's hard to find people that want to come into His presence. There are preachers that admittedly don't pray but about 15 minutes a week. Oh, yeah, they pray the professional prayers, you know, pray over the food and pray this prayer over the phone. But I'm talking about their personal prayer life. I'm not talking about what our duties are to the congregation or even what our ministry is. I'm talking about my walk with God. I'm talking about me and God. I'm talking about going into the closet. When thou prayest, enter into your closet. Don't forget to shut the door. Because if you don't shut the door, something's going to distract you. And I want to be alone with you, and I want you alone with me. I want some quality time. Amen. Shut the door. And the God that sees in secret will reward you openly. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible said, he that abides in the secret place of the Most High. Maybe this is going to give a little understanding of what that place is. Can you say amen? He that abides in the secret, the God who sees in secret. This is someone, listen, David, before he became king, a political leader, before he became any kind of spiritual leader as a king, he had a relationship with God on the hillsides of Israel while keeping the sheep. He and God were tight. Can you say amen? Amen. It wasn't about the anointing to kill giants. It was about singing to a God that he loved and wanted to know with all of his heart. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He had a relationship with this God. Before all of that power and anointing came upon him, he had a relationship with God. And that's why God anointed him to be a leader in Israel politically and spiritually. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Prayer. Faith has become this force, and they speak of it in terms of the force. One man said he called angels to tell him to go bring wealth. He dispatched angels. Now, I'm going to tell you something about angels. They are sent to minister in your behalf, but they're not under your control. They're not under your control. No. Because the same man that was sending angels to get him well sent me a letter. Let him bring it, since you're in control. I got the letter. It's silly. And yet Pentecostalism is filled with this irreverent, independent, self-confident, strident attitude. And the people that are making these rich are people hoping they can be rich like them. Amen? But when you give it all to God... My son said, I want the Lord to be the king of my life. God stripped him of everything. Amen. He said, I want Jesus to be my Lord. God took everything that kept pulling him into sin away from him. Amen. His music, he's so good at playing music. He's good. He's good. We got a song he composed and produced put it all together. He's just good at it. He's so good at it, it led him into sin in the world, and it almost destroyed him. But God began, the first thing God did was strip him of everything. Amen. He lost his job. Amen. You ever hear that? I'm standing on shaky ground. Amen. He'd been standing on shaky ground since he come to Christ. Amen. He's not even rooted and built up yet, and God's already stripping away everything that would lead him back into sin because he don't want to lose him. He wants to hold him close. Amen. This is a good stripping. It's stripping so he can reclothe him, stripping so he can rebuild him, stripping so he can restore him. Can you say amen? Stripping away the old so that he can do something new in his life. Amen. If you're stuck in your same old rut, look for some shaky ground to come. Verse of that song says, my car got repossessed this morning. Ain't saw it this hard in many years. Amen. Well, he lost his job. They repossessed his car.
When we told him we were giving him our old truck,
yeah.
Yeah,
he got down to where he was. He lived quite a ways off from us, and he had to walk, 3 miles to a store and then pack all that stuff back. He and his wife packing by the road. Said they looked at people with an old raggedy car going by. They weren't saying Escalade. They were saying ride. Just so I can ride. I don't care what I'm riding in. If anything's better than this. He said they made a joke out of it. They're walking along the road carrying these bags of 2-liter, drinks and stuff, and they're walking along the road like this, and they're wore out because they're getting up in years too now. And I told him, I said, you know something, I'm gonna give you my old S10. It's blessed. Amen. He come over and grabbed me by the neck and wept like a little baby over that old black truck. Amen. That little old 93 S10 with 130,000 miles and the blessing of the Lord. He said, Dad, it cranks up just like that. Hallelujah. It's got air conditioning too. Glory to God. Amen. I got air conditioning. It cranks up. We can go. Daddy, I love you. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's true. And he didn't ask me for it. I just gave it to him. It's not a big gift. It's a little old S10. But to him... He lost his car. He lost his job. He lost his apartment lease. He lost everything. He lost his guitar to the pawn shop and couldn't pay it out. He lost his $500 amp. They were selling it down there for $180 at the pawn shop. He went back in to pawn something else and saw it. Said, oh my Lord, that's a $500 amplifier in perfect condition, hardly ever used. And it's gone. His electric guitar, his acoustic guitar, gone. He asked me, you got any old jeans that you've outgrew? I give him a pair and he couldn't hardly snap them. Looks like he's outgrown them too. Amen. Dad, do y'all have any paper towels? I mean, you can get down to the bottom. You don't miss. Dad, do you have any Charmin? Can you say amen? Why are you laughing? Because he's weeping. He's humble. He's appreciative. He said, I'd rather have Jesus than the stuff. If this is what it takes to be sober, if this is what it takes to be free, if this is what it takes, it's okay. There's something in the Bible called true riches, and it's not about the stuff. It's about the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? And let me tell you something about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat. And it is not drink. It's not for self-indulgence, for a body that's decaying anyway. It's righteousness. It's peace. And it's joy in the Holy Ghost. There's not enough stuff in the world to take the place of what God offers you in His kingdom of grace and love. Woo! My son can lay down tonight and know he's going to heaven. Oh, P.S. God has begun to restore. You know what he said to Israel when they came home after being stripped of everything? He said, I'm going to restore to you. I'm going to restore to you. I'm going to restore to you everything. I'm going to give you back the years that the caterpillar, the canker worm, palmer worm, and grasshopper has destroyed. I'm going to send you former and latter rain, and I'm going to do it in one season so that you get a bumper crop. You're going to get more than you planted, more than you counted on. I'm going to replenish. Can you say amen? I'm going to give you back what the devil's stolen from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. If you return to me, I will return to you. I will take away that hinders my blessing so that my blessing can come upon you. My blessing that is supernatural. My blessing that nothing can cancel. My blessing that cancels the curse, saith God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Take you no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink. See, the kingdom of God has nothing to do with that. Amen. Nor wherewith you shall be clothed, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the Father knows that you have need of all these things. You don't have to inform Him. Can you say, man, He knows. He knows. He knows your name. He knows, praise God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Kingdom of God's not meat and drink, but it is righteousness. It's knowing I'm right with God. He is my provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. He is my protector. He's Jehovah Shammah. He is my peace. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is my righteousness. He's Jehovah Sikinu. He is my healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. Can you say amen? He's the Lord, my banner in battle. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's peace. It's peace. It's peace. It's peace. What? Christ. True peace. When you can lay your head down and say, if I wake up here, Christ is with me. If I leave my body tonight, I wake up in heaven. I'm with Christ. It's a win-win. Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Death has been swallowed up in victory. What? Silver and gold can't buy that peace. But it's yours in the kingdom of God. Oh, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. That doesn't just mean when He comes down and overwhelms you. That means that he is the mediator of the presence of Christ in your life. Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send you another comforter. He'll be with you. He'll be in you. He will abide with you forever. And when he comes, he's going to testify of me. Not just testify through you, but testify to you. Can you say amen? He's going to bear witness that Jesus is living in you. That God the Father is living in you. Can you say amen? He's going to shed God's love, the love of God abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to make it real to you. Can you say amen? You can sit in that dentist chair, amen, going in for a little procedure, a little in and out, and ending up there past 2 hours past closing time while they work on some teeth that they, anyway, it was an ordeal, but somehow, somehow, amen, the peace, the grace, was it painless? No. Was it pressureless? No. Was God there? Yeah. Amen. Did he bring you through? Yeah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know a God like this and to seek his kingdom? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Listen, I'll read a scripture as we get ready to close today. He's so wonderful. It's imperative that we believe, but as we preface this scripture, and we may read it in closing, our Father which art in heaven. Faith begins with fellowship. It doesn't begin with just some abstract, separated force and standing on the word and confession. It starts. See, the Bible said, hold fast your profession, which means confession in the Greek. And the word confession in the Greek means to say the same thing as another. It means to say what God has said. Listen, hold fast your profession of faith, and it doesn't have to do with getting stuff as much as it is in recognizing and confessing what you have in Christ. The context is written, it's talking about your salvation, the forgiveness that is through the cross. Amen. Hold fast that testimony. For he is faithful. That promise, it's not about your faith initially. It's about his faithfulness. Can you say amen? For what? For he is faithful. Amen. Your faith is supposed to grow in relation to your understanding, appreciation, and appropriation of his faithfulness. When his faithfulness is a target, you don't give your faith the credit no matter what God does in your life. You give him the credit. Can you say, man, you give God the glory? God is faithful. And you don't want faith in your faith, because if your faith wavers, down you go. You sink. I got to tell you this. I got so much to tell you. So many scriptures, so little time. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully. I do not believe, others may disagree with me, it won't be the first time, but I do not believe that Jesus Christ expected Simon Peter to walk the water all by himself. Thank you for the hearty amens. I told you probably wouldn't agree with me, and a lot of people don't. Because he didn't walk it, nobody else did but Jesus. And I hate to break this to you, but you can't either. Anybody here got a swimming pool? Poor folks, eh? They're a lot of trouble, I'm going to tell you right now. Not because I have one, but I see people that's got one with all that green stuff in it. And I say, I don't know, the pool man having to come. And but we could go out to the pool. There's water right out here. Anytime you think you can do that, just haul off and head out. We'll follow you. Did Peter do it? No. Did John do it? No. Did Paul do it? No. Did Matthew do it? No. Paul treaded water for a day and night. He said, I was in the deep for a day and night treading water. But he didn't walk it. Well, if Peter just stood on the word, honey, try it. Took his eyes off of Jesus. And when he took his eyes, and listen, it's hard to keep your eyes on Jesus when you're walking on water and you can't believe it's happening. And not only that, the Bible said the storm got exceedingly bad when he stepped out on that. I'm going to tell you something about your storm. When you step out on the Word of God, it's going to get worse. And sometimes you're going to feel that sinking feeling. Sometimes you're going to feel that. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He's faithful. He's faithful. Who said? Listen. So all these people talking Peter down. He got out of the boat. He got out of the boat. Give the man some credit. You heard the story of Niagara Falls. There's a guy. He put a tightrope across Niagara Falls. Crowd gathered. He got one of those balancing things. He said, how many in this crowd believe that I can walk across the falls without falling? Yeah! Yes! Amen. I believe. So he walked across the fall. He turned around and walked back again. He said, how many believe that I can do it blindfold? Yeah, now a bigger crowd's gathering. Everybody's a believer. Yes, 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 hallelujah. So he puts a blindfold on, he walks across. And he turns around, he walks back. He said, how many believe that I can walk across and back blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow? Yes! Now there's a bigger crowd of believers gathered. He said, okay, who's the first to get in the wheelbarrow? Suddenly the believers don't believe anymore. God wants your focus and your faith upon His faithfulness. Because your faith can be shaken. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble we had down in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure. You have a breaking point. Amen. I see the songs honk. If you love Jesus, and I don't know who put it on, how long it's been there, and what condition that driver's in. They may wave at me when I honk, and then they give me the California wave, which is something about birds. I don't know what that's about. The bad finger. You don't know where people are. But I know one thing. I got a breaking point. But I got a Father. I got a faithful King. I got one who said, I won't leave you. I won't forsake. See, it's His faithfulness kicking in. When my faith shakes, His faithfulness doesn't. And the Bible said in that book of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, that Sarah, being past the age of bearing a child, barren before she was past the age of barren, now past the age of bearing, even if she wasn't barren, received strength to conceive and bring forth the child being past age. Because she claimed it, she stood up on the word. No, because she considered Him faithful that promised. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And Abraham didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God because he believed that God could even raise the dead. Hallelujah. And a God that can raise the dead can move in my life. His faith was in God's faithfulness to show His power to bring forth His purpose and His will. But his focus was God, not his faith. Wow. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's not really what it is in its essence. That's what it is when you have it. The essence of it in your life. It's not descriptive of faith. As if you don't know what faith is, and this is going to tell you what it is. Faith is trusting God with everything you are and everything you have. And if you don't understand Old Testament trust, you can never understand New Testament faith. And when people got away from Old Testament trust, they got faith into a force, something out of Star Wars. and we make ourselves little gods. And we don't bow in prayer. We don't say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Because we're afraid his will and our will won't match. Well, if it don't match, we're supposed to acquiesce. We're supposed to give in. We're supposed to surrender. Come on, when you come to God in prayer, it's a place of surrender. But it's a surrender that brings serenity, because you and God are not at odds over the answer anymore. And when Paul finally came to grips with that, he said, I'm going to take pleasure in what just a few minutes ago was a pressure. Oh, you didn't hear me. I'm going to take pleasure. What would happen if you traded your pressure for pleasure and started smiling instead of griping? Amen? What would happen if you could discover joy and say, this trial won't last? This weeping lasts for a moment. Joy's coming in the morning. God's doing something here. God's up to something. We have it real tough around here, and somebody will speak that word. They'll say, boy, God must be going to do something wonderful. I'm telling you, look at all the stuff, the chaos and things that are happening. God must be up to something big. Yeah. Amen? God's going to do something big. Oh, yeah, if the devil fights like this, God is up to something wonderful. We can't give up now. We can't give in now. We can't question him now. We can't lose our faith now. God is faithful. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted above that we are able to bear, who will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Hallelujah. You say, God, I can't take it. He says, can to. You say, cannot. He says, can to. You say, cannot. He says, can to. Until you finally acquiesce and say, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Woo! I can't, but there's one living in me. By the way, it's no more I that live, anywho. It's Christ that liveth in me. Can you say amen? I must decrease so he can increase. Listen, Paul said we don't have any confidence in ourselves. None. No self-confidence. But we have all confidence in him. Not that we're sufficient as of anything of ourselves, for our sufficiency is of the Lord. Can you say amen? His faith focus was on God 100%. That's why when Peter got out of the boat, because he just asked Jesus, if you're him, this man walking on the water, if you're not an apparition, if you're really Jesus, bid me come to you. Presumptuous Peter. Jesus said, come. He jumps out of the boat. Hallelujah. Voila! Viola. He's standing on the water. I used to call it Viola before I found out voila. Anyway, a few lessons from Miss Piggy and I'll get it right. Listen, he's standing on the water. He takes some steps toward Jesus. Wow. Wow. Look at that man walk that water. Woo, look at me. Yeah, that's exactly right. Look at me. Yes, sir. Wow. Look at me. I'm bad. Amen? Yeah, he bad all right. Storm got worse. He's looking at Jesus. He's walking the water. He's looking at Jesus. Storm got worse. He keeps trying to keep his eyes on Jesus. It's getting hard. The waves are coming up. Can you say, man, he's out there on the water. Jesus way out yonder. He starts looking to the right. He starts looking to the left. And the implication is, if he'd have just stood on the word. Listen, folks. Standing on the word means that you're looking to Jesus. Amen. He's the author. And he's the finisher. He's the A, he's the Z, and he's all in between. Can you say amen of your faith? Praise God. And what he wants is your faith in his faithfulness. I do not believe that he expected Peter to walk the water, because nobody ever walked the water but him. But people did walk the water with his support. Oh, you didn't hear me. See, God wants you to be ultra dependent, not independent, operating in faith. I can do that. I could be ultra dependent. Hallelujah. How about you? Are you weak enough to be strengthened by Him? To them that hath what? All faith and all power. To them that hath no might. He increases strength. Hallelujah. Paul said, I am what I am because I stands upon the word. I eat my spinach, Popeye says. Can you say amen? I'm strong to the finish. Listen, no, I am what I am by the grace of God. If God wasn't supporting me in grace, I would fall flat on my face. Amen. But I have faith in His faithfulness, and He's showing it to me day in and day out. Bible said, and Peter began to sink. He began to sink. Now, Peter cries, Jesus, save me. That pleases God. Pleases God. Faith is pure. It ain't you, it's Him. It's Him. And the Bible said that Jesus closed that gap between that sinking man and Himself like that. And reaching down and grabbing him by the hand. And lifting him up. Supported by Jesus and his faith in Christ's faithfulness. Peter and Jesus walked the water. And Peter didn't sink. But he wasn't doing it by his faith. In his faith. He was doing it by his faith in the faithfulness of his Savior. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did he walk the water? You bet, but he didn't do it without Jesus, honey. Can you say amen? He did it with Jesus supporting him. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Can you say amen? Stand up just a minute. I can do all things. Reach around. Amen. Oh, yeah, I can do all things. Yeah, we can walk the water now. Can you say amen? That's right. That's right. We bad. We bad. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Through Christ. That's the way I make it every day of my life. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders received a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, before we talk about faith in pleasing God, what did Enoch do? He walked with God and was not. Whew. His faith was born out of fellowship. Come on, say it with me. His faith came out of fellowship. Deep, rich, intimate, personal fellowship. He didn't just claim a scripture and stand on the word. He walked with... Come on, church. He walked with God. Can you say amen? Amen. But without faith... Come on, it's married to fellowship. Do you understand that it is not a force? It's born out of a relationship that is so close you begin to trust the faithfulness of the person who is supporting you, so that you can rest upon Him and rest upon the Word of God. Hallelujah! 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 And God not only has your faith, He has your heart. Glory to God. For before this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. That diligently seek what? Answers to prayer? No, seek him who is the answer. The great I am. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you see how fellowship and faith are supposed to be married together? And you try to use faith without fellowship, you get off into a worldview, and you use your faith to consume on yourself. Can you say amen? And you get the foolish idea that God's great plan for His church is that we all become rich like Hollywood, so that the world will envy us. Honey, they already envy us because of the riches we have in Christ, because of the peace we have, the joy we have, the fellowship we have, the eternal life we have, the Father that we have to take care of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. To believe that He is to believe that the I Am of the Old Testament is the I Am of the New Testament. And that the covenant-keeping God of Moses' day is the same covenant-keeping God of our day. But He's keeping it through the blood of Christ, but it's the same Father. And He's keeping covenant to 1,000 generations. Quit trying to walk the water and learn how to lean on Jesus. Can you say amen? God didn't call you to do that. Peter, God didn't tell Peter to get out of the boat. Peter said, bid me come. I'd like to do this. He said, well, then come on. And I believe Peter learned a great lesson that day. Amen? And that is, you don't do it without Jesus. You just don't do it without Jesus. You're not supposed to do it without God. You're supposed to have God's power, God's faithfulness. You don't just stand upon the Word. You trust the God who has spoken with everything. And you get in your closet. I got to do this one last time. When thou prayest, when you pray, it's going to be hard to find a place like this. You may have to come here to church and go in here. I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to find the closet, isn't it? Amen. Man asked me. Amen. He asked me. The bathroom. I heard that way over here. That's a good place. The throne room. Can you say, man, it's already biblical. Think about it. Think about it, sister. Think about it. You've got to use your head. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Cell phone stays outside. Telephone stays outside. Television stays outside. Dog, cat stays outside. Wife, husband, children, grandchildren, stay outside. Stay. Shut to the door. There's intimacy here. There's fellowship going on. Our Father, which art in heaven, my Father, which art in heaven, Abba, Father, I sanctify your name. Holy is your name. Holy, holy, holy art thou. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now you make petition to this God, and the God who sees in secret rewards you openly. Can you say, man, He rewards you openly. He rewards you openly. And when He rewards you, you give Him the honor. You give Him the praise. You give Him the glory. You don't talk about your faith. You talk about His faithfulness. Can you say, man? God is going to do some things. I don't know how He's going to do it for you. I know my situation. I need axe heads to swim sometimes because it's borrowed. And I'm going to be in debt if I don't get it back. So I need some axe heads to swim. How about you? Anybody need it? Go like this if you need some help with debt. Lord, have mercy. Look like a flock of seagulls in here. I want to throw bird seed out right now. Listen, we're in tough times. We need God's help. We need to come to Him. Put our faith in His faithfulness. I don't know what God's going to do, but I'm expecting testimonies to start coming forth of God's provision. Amen. You know why? Because He's faithful. Hallelujah. I'm young. Tell me I'm not. She's going to tell me I'm not. Go ahead and tell me I'm not. Okay, thank you. I'm young and now I'm old. Everybody else thinks I'm old. They don't card me anymore for the senior discount. Card me, please. Show them my Medicare card. They'll give me that 10-cent coffee. Amen. This is it. My servant David said it well and true. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I am the God of all flesh, and there's nothing too hard for me, saith the Lord. Call upon me in the day of trouble after you've worshiped me and reverenced me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. How many people are going to call on him this week? He said, call. See, he challenges. Call upon me. I'll show you great and mighty things. You say, I prayed before. This time, pray different. This time, pray in a total reliance upon God. Don't even think about the size of your faith. They came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. We got big problems. We need big faith. He said, let me tell you something about faith in your mountain. If you had faith, it's a grain of mustard seed. Not the size of it, it's the purity of it. Your faith is in him anyway. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's not a force that has to get mountain size to move a mountain. If you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. You have that little mustard seed thingy? She's got a little mustard seed thing. It's in a concave glass. You know why it's magnified? Because you can't hardly see it with the natural eye if it's not magnified. Amen. Said it's one of the smallest of the seeds, but you plant that bad boy, amen, it'll grow into a tree that the birds of the air can come and put their nest in. Out of that little bitty, minuscule, microscopic seed, they thought we need big faith to do big things. He said you need pure faith in God. Amen. If you had that kind of faith in me, and it's just that much, but it's pure. Can you say, man, it's pure. Amen. You could say unto that mountain, you discover my will and put your trust in my faithfulness. I said, you discover my will. Discover my will and put your faith in my faithfulness to perform it. Hallelujah. You say unto that mountain, be thou removed. Cast into the midst of the sea. And doubt not in your heart that what you say, not because you said it alone, but because he has divulged his will to you. You'll have what you say because it's what he wills and purposes. Not because of the power of your words, but the power of your God. Make no mistake about it, you can't create nothing. If these guys could do that, they ought to create themselves some wealth and quit sending us letters, panhandling, and merchandising. Amen. Can you say, man? Why don't they just say it and shut up and preach the gospel? Amen? Amen. Just say it. Create yourself $2 million and hush over Easter and talk about the resurrection.
Amen.
Instead of this little window that opens during resurrection week where there's special blessings, triple anointings, triple. Oh, for heaven's sakes, it's Easter. It's resurrection. Get off of it. Let's celebrate the resurrection. Our faith is vain without it. Can't we quit talking about money to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Not to people who are obsessed with it. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Come here, you're going to hear about Jesus. And you're going to hear some more about Jesus. And you're going to hear some more about Jesus, and 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 some more about Jesus. Faith and fellowship. Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Enoch walked with God. And his faith was born out of that fellowship, relationship with the one that he trusted so very much. And now faith is no longer a force, is it? It's a person in whom we embrace and trust and who upholds us with the right hand of his righteousness. And I've got that kind of faith. I got the faith to say, save me, Lord! And to have the assurance that he's going to lift me up and together we're going to walk through that furnace. We're going to walk through that circumstance. Amen. And when we're through to the other side, I won't be talking about. I'll be talking about him. Yeah. I got to tell you this, we've got to quit. Everybody say we got to quit. You said that better than the amens a while ago. Anyway, listen. an ant and an elephant came to one of those old swinging bridges in Africa across a deep chasm, hundreds of feet deep. The ant and the elephant got there at the same time. And the ant and the elephant started walking together, side by side, across that deep chasm. Man, that elephant was walking, that bridge started swaying. Time they got to the other side, that bridge was going like this. The ant and the elephant. You know what's coming. They both got the other side, and the ant looked back and saw that bridge going like that. Because boy, that old elephant, man, got that bridge. He tromping across, that old bridge started going like that. One of them old rope bridges like they used to have at one of the state parks. They got to the other side. You remember? Yeah, you go back. Home girl. Yeah, we've been there. Hillsborough River State Park, when they had the old swinging bridge, the old cable. Listen, they got to the other side. The ant looked up at the elephant and said, man, didn't we shake that bridge? No, ant, you didn't shake nothing. Can you say, man, that bridge didn't know you were there. Can you say, man, but that elephant shook that bridge. Listen, folks, when God brings you through, make sure you understand He's the one. He's the one. He's the one. He's the one. Praise God. He's the one. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet today. Praise the Lord. How many in here are saved?
Amen.
How many in here have enough faith to holler, save me, Lord. Help me, Lord. You know something? That's about the size. That's about the most fundamental, foundational faith there is, just to cry out to God. But David said, I cried unto the Lord. He heard me, delivered me from all of my fears. Can you say, man, hallelujah, I cried unto the Lord. I don't mean whine. I'm talking about crying out to God. And He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're going through, but I know you're going through. Hallelujah. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, and I'm not talking about Jesus way over there and you way over here having to walk the water by your faith. I'm talking about Jesus right up here holding your hand. Can you say amen? Come on, isn't that what you need to see? Not Jesus way over there through the fog. Remember the song? Standing somewhere in the shadow, you'll find Jesus somewhere in the shadows. Jesus? No, He's not standing. I can't sing it. I'm sorry. I can't sing it anymore. Because this is old sad song. Jesus is way over there. He's hiding. He's way over yonder somewhere. He's back in the back room somewhere in the dark corner. No, He's not. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will go with you all the way, even to the end of the age. And lo, I'm with you always. He's right in the center of our life. He is central to our faith. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve. How many people in this room right now, no matter what happens, you're not going to give up on God and you're not going to go back? Would you resolve in your heart right now, no matter what happens, you'll give Him the opportunity to prove Himself faithful. Even when it looks like He's not answering, He's not going to come through, and things are going against what you're praying, how many would hang in? Like the old song said, hold on just a little while longer. Hold on just a little while longer. Hold on just a little while longer. Hold on, hold on. Hold to His hand, to God's unchanging hand. That's the hand that Peter got a hold of. Hallelujah, that didn't let him fall today. How many are determined, I'm not going back? I won't get mad at God, sell Him out, go back and see if I can find it in a bottle, find it in drugs, find it in somebody in this world. No, I won't turn back. I don't understand, but I'm going on. Hallelujah. I'm going on. Hallelujah. 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 Just raise your hands and praise Him. Raise your hands and praise Him. Enter into your closet this week. Make time for Him. Shut the door. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is going to meet you there. God is going to meet you there. God is going to meet with you there. And He that seeth in secret is going to reward you openly. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Axe heads are going to swim. Bitter waters are going to become sweet. God is going to come through. Bread is going to come out of heaven if necessary. Water will come out of a flinty rock. Whatever it takes, God is going to see to it. God is going to see to it. Father, we praise You. Let's lift Him up in this song. Hallelujah.